From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of February of 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. And check in on the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy there in Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, we'll hear an excerpt from Friday's speech that Darrell Good gave at the Soybean Outreach Summit at the I Hotel. He outlines the acreage battle that has yet to ensue for crops right here in the Midwest, and it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production, of course, of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished mostly higher in the corn and the wheat, down in the soybeans. Futures from the soft red at 782.5 were up 6 in the March contract. May wheat at 817, up 5 and 3 quarters. July at 848 and a quarter, up 7 and a quarter. And December futures at $9 even, 11 cents higher. July of next year for the soft red, up 10 and a half cents. The trade there, $8.86 a bushel. March corn futures at 722.5, 10 and a half higher. May at 731 on their settlement, 9 cents higher. July at 733.25, up 6.5. September at 650.25, up 4.25. December up a nickel at $6.63 for the new crop. And March 2012 at 615.5, up 5.25. March beans at $13.57.25, down 8.25. May at 1364.75, 10.25 lower. July futures 1372.5, down 10.25, and the August at $13.59 a bushel, now not down 9 cents. November today at 1324.75, down 4.75. March bean meal at 356.40, 330 lower. March soybean oil at 56.77, down 18. February live cattle at $110.25, down $1.77.5 for the day. The April at 112.90, down $1.20. March feeders at 130.75, up 25 cents. April feeders at 131.77.5, 15 cents higher. April lean hogs today at $88.80, finished down $1.40. The May at 98.10, down 95 cents. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, April contract at $96.97, a barrel down 91 cents. Ethanol at $2.59.2, that's up 4.8. Natural gas at $4.38, 3.3 higher. The RBOB at $2.72.9, just about 9 cents lower. The heating oil or diesel fuel for the day, just about 0.5 cents lower. That finished at down 0.5 cents for the day at 292.5. And the gold futures for the afternoon at $1,409.30, up 60 cents on the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,198, just about 68 points higher for the day. Let's take a look at what the weather forecast says for Urbana-Champaign for this afternoon. Yet, mostly cloudy skies, gradually becoming sunny, a high near 36 degrees. Breezy with a north wind between 13 and 20 miles an hour. That'll gust as high as 26. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 21. North winds at 6 to 9 miles an hour. They'll become calm as the evening passes. Tuesday, sunny, a high near 47. Southwest winds at 5 to 15. Tuesday night, it should be mostly clear, a low of 28. North-northwest winds at 6 to 9. And Wednesday, sunny, a high near 43 degrees. Northeast winds at 6 to 8. Wednesday night, mostly clear, a low of 26. Thursday, partly sunny, a high of 47. Thursday night, cloudy, a low of 42. And Friday, a chance of showers. Mostly cloudy, a high near 54 degrees on Friday. Friday night, a chance of showers, cloudy, a low of 37. And Saturday, a chance of showers, cloudy, a high near 42. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 26. And on Sunday, to finish the weekend out, partly sunny, the high near 41 degrees.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, is on the phone line to take up the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It was kind of a wild and woolly last week. Much calmer, I think, today in the trade.
Well, it depends what your position is and how the market finished. But no, we're seeing some extreme volatility. As you said there, last week was a roller coaster ride. Basically, you take Sunday night's high a week ago, and today where we're at, we're talking over $1.30 move in corn futures, and usually you get a $1.30 move in just a year's trade in past history, so it's just a little bit touchy, but a lot of players involved, a lot of money changing hands, and with today's technology and the atmosphere of wind, it's easy to see millions upon, if not billions of dollars, move at a touch of a button. So it's a dynamic market, a lot of uncertainty out there. There's going to continue to be a lot of uncertainty, especially in the grain complex, until we get to the end of March and see what the acreage numbers are and see what type of weather pattern we see as we go into early spring there, Todd.
And does your gut tell you this is consolidation or a top?
If it goes on down, it's a top. If it goes on higher, it was a midpoint congestion. we're going to consolidate here. The key is, to answer your question, is we take out the last Sunday night's highs there. We had the big correction here. Typically, we consolidate sideways for a little while, then we extend the move to the upside. If we trade higher tonight and close lower tomorrow, the technicians on the corn chart will say it's could be possibly a double top. Bean-wise, we've kind of rolled over, and we've got a downtrend established in the bean complex. So overall, I think corn's probably going to consolidate here for a minute or two and see what type of news comes at us as we go into midweek.
Wednesday night, you'll be with me in Macon County at the Extension office there at the Farm Progress Show site. It's really easy to get to. I think they're looking for the wind turbine if they come at 7 o'clock. That one's open. Will we have some good information for them about what they should be doing with their markets and commodities as far as the crop insurance on Wednesday night? I know we have Gary Schnitke along with us, too. Kurt?
Yeah, still there.
I lost you for a
moment. You didn't hear my answer to that?
No, I did not.
No, Gary could probably give some good insight on the crop insurance side. He's been pushing the numbers. He's real sharp on the economic side of the equation. As far as what to do, I'm sure each one of us will have an opinion on what to do. And it really depends on each individual because there's a lot of different ways you can go. The main thing is having something comfortable you're with as we go through this turbulent marketplace. And above all, strategy to stay somewhat flexible because we don't know what type of yield we're going to have or what type of economic fallout is we can move down the road in through here. But no, Wednesday, you got a heck of a panel. Always enjoy being with Paul and Jackie, especially, and Gary, he's a good guy to be on there, and we expect to be tested and open up to some good, hard questions to try to answer.
I hope so. We'll talk with you then. Thanks so much.
Very good. Thanks.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and will be with us at one of our Ag Outlook panels. That's Wednesday evening in Macon County. That's Decatur at Route 48 and the interstate. You're looking for the Farm Progress Show site. And then you're going to look for that wind turbine. It's really next to the ADM plants there. I'm told you can see the wind turbine even at night because the ADM lights shine off it. So come there at 7 o'clock. Jackie Bakes, Paul Cooley, Kurt Kimmel, and Gary Schnitke will they be there. Gary, of course, with the Farm Doc team, and he's our crop insurance specialist. Those decisions have to be made by the 15th of March. Your first opportunity to get a good look at the marketplace and how to play the crop insurance game.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Last Friday, I had the pleasure of hosting the Illinois Soybean Outreach Summit. One of our guest speakers was Daryl Good, ag economist from the U of I. I recorded his program. We'll hear an excerpt now about how he sees the acreage battle setting up for this spring.
Corn at about 5% of our annual consumption. Soybean ending stocks expected to be around 4% of our annual consumption. Most of us believe that that's about as low as you can take our inventories and still keep the pipelines full. So we're basically, we'll have empty cupboards of both corn and soybeans at the end of this marketing year, putting a lot of importance on the size of the 2011 crops. There's basically three reasons we're seeing such small inventories. One is the last year's corn crop was a bit smaller than expected. At 12.5 billion bushels, the crop came in about a billion bushels smaller than what was projected early in the spring last year. Secondly, we're seeing a very rapid rate of increase in corn use for ethanol. We're using ethanol well above the mandated level now, with consumption this year probably approaching 5 billion bushels, which will be about 600 million bushels above the mandated level. So that combination of a smaller-than-expected crop and a large ethanol use, that's getting us about a billion-and-a-half bushel swing in the available leftover supplies of corn. And in soybeans, the story is not so much on the production side. We did have a big crop in 2011, but we're using that crop extremely rapidly because of the large export demand for soybeans. Again, expecting to push 1.6 billion bushels this year, with about 60% of that going to China. And so it's the demand side of the market that's keeping our inventory levels quite low going into next year. So when we look at planted acres of corn and soybeans, the two questions kind of are important fundamentally right now. How many acres do we need next year to have an adequate supply, to maintain prices at reasonable levels, and perhaps to start rebuilding our inventories just a little bit? And then the second part of that question is, how many acres are we likely to get of those crops? And that's a function of competition, but also a function of just how many crop acres are available to be planted in 2011. Opinions differ. But it appears to me that we need to see corn acres move back up very close to that record that we saw in 2007, close to 93 million acres, which would be about a 4.8 million acre increase from what we planted this year. Soybeans, we are at record acres of soybeans nationally right now, and I think at a minimum we need to maintain soybean acres at that level in 2011. How difficult is that going to be? I think it's going to be a little bit easier to get the soybean acres than the corn acres this year because of the double cropping situation. This gives you just a brief history of the number of double cropped soybean acres typically following soft red winter wheat harvest. You know, on a kind of a longer term period, you're talking 4.5 million acres of double crop beans. We were down just about 2.25 million last year because of the very low acreage of soft red winter wheat. With that acreage back up sharply this year, we would look for an opportunity to see double crop soybean acres bounce back a couple million, maybe even a bit more than that, given the economic incentives by the high soybean prices, we might see that number back up closer to 5 million acres in 2011. So I think the task to get the bean acres will be a little bit easier, or to keep the bean acres. We'd also think that the higher prices that we're seeing right now with this is new crop December futures, we've seen a steady increase there, prices moving above $6. One would think that that would be a pretty strong incentive to plant corn acres next year. The same is true on soybeans. We have seen a steady increase in prices, although more of a dip here recently. And I think there is growing recognition that that our supply-demand balance is more troublesome for corn moving forward than it is soybeans, partly because of the Brazilian harvest this year will be record large and probably considerably larger than the last USDA estimate. Also recognition that we're going to get some more acres next year here in the U.S. So I think the current tightness in soybeans, there's a bigger chance that that's going to give way to more adequate supplies next year than in the case of corn. The question about availability of acreage, we know that winter wheat seedings have bounced back just a little bit this year. USDA said 3.7 million acres more winter wheat seeded. So some of the excess acreage that might be out there that can be brought back into production under high prices has already been spoken for by soft red winter wheat. We're also looking at relatively high prices of competing commodities. When you look at spring wheat prices, while they've weakened here just a little bit, they're still at extremely high levels. One would think that those prices are high enough to be very competitive for acreage in the northern plains next year. And, of course, we're all talking about the cotton prices that are extremely high levels, although, again, somewhat softer here recently. Those prices are high enough that they probably will attract some acreage next year. So you kind of begin to get the feel here. We need more corn acres. We've already spoken for some. Other commodities are competing for the acres. And then there's a question, just how big is the acreage pie? How many acres can be planted there? And again, a recent history reveals that planted acres of all of our crops does vary quite a bit from year to year. And we were at the low end of our planted acres experience last year. Part of that was the double cropping of soybeans. We dropped a couple million acres there. Those acres always get counted twice, wheat and soybeans. But on the surface, one would say, under a generally high commodity price scenario, that we would expect total planted acres to rebound in 2011, maybe similar to what we had in 2008. When we look at a little more detail of that acreage, CRP obviously plays a role in terms of how much cropland is available to plant. And we see that really since 2007, the acreage in CRP has come down 5.5 million acres. So when you look at total planted acres plus CRP, last year's number at 347.9 million acres suggests that there is 10, 11, 12 million acres of cropland that could be brought into production if we get back to the 2008 level. But I think the message is we won't do that if the market does not provide incentive. That is, we can't get our eye off the ball here and say automatically we're going to plant that acres. It won't happen unless there is an incentive to do it. The other piece that fits into this whole argument about how many acres are needed is what do we expect yields to be in 2011. This is a kind of a history of the U.S. average corn yield. We fell a bit below trend in 2010. What is a realistic expectation for 2011 yields? People want to start their thinking somewhere around 161 to 162 bushels per acre. In my opinion, that overstates by quite a bit the trend yield for 2011. Trend yield is closer to 158 bushels rather than 162. So I'm a bit concerned that the market has too optimistic opinion about corn yields going into 2011. Obviously, how we actually end up is unknown at this point, but I think we're starting with fairly high expectations that are a bit unrealistic. Soybean yields, also we've been at record levels the last 2 years, 43.5 last year, 44 bushels in 2009. Can we maintain those yield levels right at or above trend line value in 2011 makes a lot of difference in your calculation of how many acres are needed next year. One thing I look at here is focusing on corn is the spread between old crop and new crop prices. This is the March-December spread. And what you see here is if you go back to when this rally started in the corn market last July, you saw about a 20-cent premium March futures, March 2011 over December. That spread has now widened to more than a dollar per bushel. The way I read this is, yes, corn prices have rallied sharply. New crop, not so much. And I think the market is in danger of making a mistake with new crop prices lagging and really not providing strong enough incentive to bring corn acres into production next year. So I think for a variety of reasons, one has to stay pretty friendly to the corn market here until at least March 31st, when we see both the old crop inventory estimate as of March 1 and we see the results of the USDA's prospective plantings report that will give us an acreage breakdown and also allow us to calculate how much total cropland acres are being planted in 2011. So I think the corn market clearly made a mistake last year in not encouraging enough acres. There's just generally too much optimism about corn yields, and I think we're on the verge of making that mistake right now. So it's a question of pay me now or pay me later in the corn market. We've either got to get the acres, and if we don't get the acres, then we've got a potential of a pretty tight supply of corn next year. So briefly, I think that's how the acreage competition fits into where we are right now in the corn and the soybean market.
That was University of Illinois Ag Economist Darrell Good speaking at last week's Illinois Outreach Summit for the soybeans. You can hear him again, if you'd like, on our website at willag.org. Lisa Jones is with us this afternoon from the Andersons for a very quick note. Lisa, two things, and we'll make it short because we're running out of time, frankly. One, we need your bids for the day, and then have producers been calling in with a lot of questions over the last week, and did they make any sales?
Todd, we've had a lot of guys with questions, especially when we continue to see these big sell-off days like we saw in beans today. I think guys are trying to figure out whether or not the tops are in. We've been telling guys this is still a good opportunity to make some old crop sales, kind of catch up if there were some numbers they were waiting on. In terms of new crops, still been very light. In terms of a cash bid, our cash bid for corn were $7.16, new crop corn $5.75, cash beans in the elevator is $13.44, and fall beans $12.90.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
All right, thanks, Todd.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Lisa Jones is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joined us on a Monday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural cash grain market. You can hear her again at willag.org.
It's National Chili Day. There are several theories on where chili began, among them that cowboys invented chili while driving cattle. Supposedly, cooks planted oregano, chilies, and onions among patches of mesquite to protect them from foraging cattle. The next time they passed the same trail, they'd collect the ingredients, add beef, and make a dish called Trail Drive Chili. Perhaps the earliest mention of the dish, although not by name, was by J.C. Clopper, who in 1828 noted how poor people cut meat they could afford into a kind of hash. with nearly as many pieces of pepper as there were pieces of meat. On this day in agricultural history in 1835, at the DuPont Corporation, Dr. Wallace Hume Carruthers invented nylon. A patent was issued in 1837, and nylon stockings soon followed. Nylon has also been used in products as varied as tires to blood plasma filters. Carruthers also invented neoprene, a synthetic rubber that's today often used in horse breast collars. And speaking of horses, in 1979, Mr. Ed the Talking Horse died. The pilot show, entitled The Wonderful World of Wilbur Pope, was produced by George Burns, but it was never broadcast. TV bosses, however, thought it could be a successful TV show with a few changes. The TV series Mr. Ed first became a syndicated show on January 5th of 1961. And that's this day in agricultural history.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, is on the phone line with us to take a look at the weather forecast. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good, Todd. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing very well. I would like to take a look at the weather forecast. If you could go out just a bit for me next Tuesday. I know it's a long ways out, a week away. We'll be at the Beef House for our all-day Ag Outlook meeting. It's sold out. All the tickets are gone. And we'll have somewhere around 400 folks in the room once we get everybody counted, a bit more than that, actually. And we need to get them all there safely. I'm always about that time we end up with a winter storm warning or something around. What do you see for next Tuesday?
Well, it looks like that trend here continues, Todd, for yet another year, although the storm system that is projected by computer model guidance for the early part of next week, depending on the speed of it, there is potential that could actually be delayed until about Wednesday, but it's right around later on Tuesday, Wednesday looks to be the time frame, at least for another storm system tracking across Illinois. With the track of it here, it does look like the precipitation would be basically all rain. Now, some of that would be thunderstorms, but it's going to come down to the exact timing here or the speed of the system, which if you take one of the U.S. models that puts it on Tuesday, but if you take the new European model, actually projects it for next Wednesday. So let's hope for the European model.
Today we're going to go with the European model. Okay, let's take a look at what's happening around the world, and maybe you could take up China and its wheat-growing regions. They came out with a little news item that said, hey, we were in a drought in about half of that, but we were in a pretty good-sized drought, but we've cut about half of that out over the last several days. Is that possible or not? Did they get enough rainfall and snowfall to make that work?
And across a good chunk of the wheat belt, they did see significant precipitation. Now, granted, this is their dry season, so even a quarter of an inch is well above normal totals for this time of year. And so generally across their wheat belt, they received a quarter to 1 inch of precip this weekend. So that provided a boost in soil moisture reserves. But for some of the driest acreage here, they're going to need much more than a quarter of an inch to really boost that soil moisture.
And a very short note, if you would, on South America. They're in the middle of soybean harvest.
Yeah, it's very active across northern Brazil, and so that will continue to delay harvesting across that area, as well as crop logistics for the unharvested crops, such as delays in the soybeans getting to port. So that's really the highlight across South America at this time.
Thank you so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, joins us here on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. On Wednesday evening of this week, if you get the opportunity, please do drop by the Macon County Extension office. It's on the Farm Progress Show site, right near the great big wind turbine at 7 o'clock. Paul Cooley, Jackie Vakes, Kurt Kimmel, and the Farm Doc team, Ag Economist, Crop Insurance Specialist Gary Schnitke will be there. This is a free meeting. It's open to anybody who wants to drop by. Please do so. That's at 7 o'clock. Right there in Decatur. I'm Todd Gleason. You've been listening to the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Have a very safe afternoon.